Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. Good evening. This is the Aunt Canary Experience. I'm your host, Aunt Canary. I am back live tonight after taking a couple of weeks off. They weren't planned off, but that's the way it is. I'm back tonight live. It is April 24th, 2018, 8 o'clock on the East Coast. The number to call in, 563-999-3682. 563-999-3682. Back on live. Like I said, I had to take a little short break. Chat room is open if you want to get in on that. And tonight's topic is we're going to be talking about the subject of tonight's show. I guess the question is, should we finally legalize pot? And the way it's looking right now, we probably will. So what we're going to do, we're going to go back and take a look at some of the historical stuff, you know, to kind of fit into what we're talking about tonight. Some of the stuff you may know, I did a Matter of fact, I did a show maybe a year ago about the phony war on drugs and where how it came about. And it was really some mess that the government threw together, and it was mostly racial. But we'll get into that in just a second. But I guess some of, you know, there have been some people wondering what, you know, what happened to me. Well, last week I did my musical, you know, old school mix that I like to do. Last week I had to preempt the show. I didn't want to, but I had no choice. Had some phone issues. Had to buy another phone. The other phone is pretty much dead. And was going through some stuff. You know, the last couple of weeks weren't too great, but it's all good. But I guess, like, I have all different kind of people listening to the show and everything. Let me just say this: as you get older, you start to learn about a whole lot of stuff, and came to figure out that this whole thing about what life is all about, life is basically a set of choices. I mean, your life can go, everything could be going, you know, well, everything is cool. And then all of a sudden something makes it go sideways, and then you got to choose. Kind of like when you got to pick the red pill or the blue pill. You got to pick one. And, with the way this stuff is going right now, you know, some people, they come across something and they don't know how to handle it, and they just go back into a corner and just cry and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, not try to fix anything. And then you got people that are like, you know, screw this, I'll figure this out. So, you know, so most of the times, you know, this thing, you know, in my opinion, this thing, you know, life is like, you know, it is what you make it. You know, not everybody's going to have a perfect life, because nothing's perfect, but it just depends on how you handle stuff. You know, you can choose not to do anything, or you can choose to fix whatever problem you got. So yeah, I was going through some stuff last couple weeks, I was like, man, when is this shit going to end? But, you know, just something you just got to go through. Figure it out, fix it, get back on your feet. So I'm back. Like I said, everything's a choice. You know, I can choose not to do this anymore, but I don't, because I like doing this. Because I think what I'm doing, what we're doing here in the initiative, I think we're doing good work. You know, we have people listen to our shows every week. You know, we're trying to make a difference. So, you know, at least we're trying, because there's a lot of people out there just like, you know, forget it. I don't care. I just take stuff for what it is. But at least we're trying to make a difference. So I choose to keep doing this. So I'm back. I'm live. And I've been thinking about what I'm going to do next. I hadn't decided. I've got a couple ideas for next week's show. But 1 week, I think, if it's not next week, the week after that, we're going to talk to, I'm going to try to line up a friend of mine who owns his own business. And we're going to be talking about how more black people need to start their own businesses and stuff like that. So that's going to be in a couple of weeks. So if you can join me for that, come on in to join. And if you are, and if you do have your own business, I want you to call in next week. I mean, not next week, but whenever we have the show, call in, and we're going to talk about that. You know, try to help our communities out. So we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks probably. But the call-in number is 563-999-3682. 563-999-3682. Chat room is open. And before we get into the show, let me play our commercial, and then we'll be back. We're going to jump into this. And in case you're running late and didn't get the topic, tonight's topic is, should we finally legalize pot? And I think we'll probably end up doing that pretty soon, but we'll talk about that in just a second. But I'm going to play the commercial and be right back.
Dr. James Jones III is a graduate of The Ohio State University. He has earned graduate degrees in African American Studies and History. Dr. Jones has produced the following books: Creating Revolution as They Advance, A Narrative History of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. These writings examine the historical context that facilitated the demise of the Civil Rights Movement's patience and the ascension of a much bolder and less patient mid-60s Black Power politics. Manhood, Race, and Culture, Volumes 1 and 2, contains 66 essays that cover national events that occurred within the African-American community. L. Bruni, An African-American Odyssey Home, is an ethnographic study that follows an African-American to Africa, his ancestral homeland. Foolish Floyd, The Life and Times of an African-American, follows an individual who emanates from a rich tradition of contrarians. You can purchase the writings of Dr. Jones at Amazon.com, also available on Kindle. Dr. Jones is also our network resident doctor and can be heard every Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the Initiative Radio Network. Please visit his website at manhoodraceandculture.com.
Okay. 563-999-3682. 563-999-3682. So, before we start talking about pot and the phony war on drugs and everything, this goes back, this goes back some years. But what I want to talk about before, right quick, is let me talk about the 13th Amendment. Now, the 13th Amendment, in case you don't know, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but what it basically, let me see if I can find, okay, here we go. Because a lot of people seem to think, and it's true, that even though slavery was ended, it really didn't end. Because what the 13th Amendment said was it abolished slavery and involuntary servitude except as a punishment for a crime. Now, the word is except. So even though slavery was outlawed in the country, you could still be made to work. Say, for example, you go to jail. As you notice that a lot of people, especially in the spring and summertime months, you'll see prison guards on the side of, watching guys out there picking up trash and cutting the grass on the side of the highways. Now, some states, the prisoners get paid to do that kind of stuff. Things like 40 cents, some 30 cent, 40 cent, some crazy, crazy number that they get paid to do that. But you could say that. Some people may consider that as slavery. The black codes, for example, if you were black and you were hanging out in the street, you could be arrested and put in jail. And that was particularly in the South. Let me click on this. But like I said, that black codes were mostly in the Southern states. And they pretty much kept black folk from doing a whole lot of stuff. Even though slavery was outlawed, it kept them from doing a whole lot of stuff. So they were free, but technically they weren't free. They couldn't vote. They couldn't have guns. They couldn't hang out in big groups of people. There were a lot of things that they couldn't do. And see, this is why it goes back to what we're going through right now with this gun issue. Black people couldn't own guns, and if they were ever caught having a gun, they could be arrested or they could be shot. That's why, you know, this stuff now with the Second Amendment, mostly the people that are sitting there hollering for the Second Amendment are white people, because they were the only ones that could have guns. But there is a thing now where they're saying that black people should buy a gun. It's like all black people, if you're able to get a gun, we should all buy guns now. And if that ever happened, you're talking about gun control laws. Them suckers, gun control laws will go into effect tomorrow. It was something else I was going to, here we go. And most of these black codes, were vagrancy laws, which they could throw you in jail for, you know, doing nothing. And that goes, and then you have these laws throwing mostly black people in jail for doing nothing, practically nothing at all. And that goes into now how these jails that we have now are full of black and brown people. Now, there are some white people in jail, so I'm not going to sit up and say that, you know, only people in jail are black and brown people. That's not even the case. Because sometime this year, like I've been doing for the last 2 years, when the FBI statistics come out, I do a show every year where I read all the statistics of crime in this country, and most of the crime in this country is done by white folk. A lot of white people abuse drugs. So we're not going to sit here and pretend that only people in this country committing crime, you know, are black and brown people, because a lot of people try to have you believe in that, especially in social media. I get in more arguments with people about this all the time, because they will swear up and down that only crime, you know, they'll sit up and say that, you know, black people only are like 13% of the population, but they commit 50% of the crime. That is wrong. So don't even fall for that. That's not even the truth. And as soon as those stats come out, I will be doing a show on that. So bringing that up to keep going, black codes and all that kind of stuff. And then in the 30s, matter of fact, the clips, I'm going to bring these out, that all of a sudden our government had to come up with excuses in order to, you know, try to, you know, make black and brown people look bad. So they came up with this, with the drug stuff, especially with the marijuana. And they made up lies about it. And all of a sudden you got this stuff going on. And then you fast forward to the 70s and you had President Nixon. They pretty much, they just came out and said, you know, all this stuff is just about getting on black people. You know, locking them up, putting them in jail, and all this other kind of stuff. So now you got the stuff we got going on now with the opioids. It's mostly white folk doing the opioids. Now all of a sudden, the drug stuff in the country is all of a sudden a problem. But then people forget that the government introduced crack into the black community. And they did it on purpose. So I mean, how do you explain that? If you had a black guy and a white guy, and the white guy had powdered cocaine, and the black guy had crack, the black guy would get more time in jail than the white guy with cocaine, even though it's the same drug. The white guy wouldn't get as much time as the black guy, even though they're both cocaine, both drugs are cocaine. But if the black guy's got crack and the white guy's got cocaine, the black guy's going to get more time. So if that don't tell you that the system is crooked, I don't know what will. So So there is no war on crime, on drugs in this country. So it's like there's no war on Christmas. There's no war on religion. You know, the Republicans like to sit there and try to make everything a war on something, and there is no war on anything. You know, the thing is, you know, now all of a sudden we got this opioid problem, and now all of a sudden you've got to do something about it. And what kills me is you got these commercials on TV. You know, they'll sit up and say, oh, come to our rehab. Insurance will pay for it. You know, so now you've got insurance companies paying for you to go to rehab over these opioids, but they won't say a thing about crack in the black communities. Only thing people in the black community get, they won't get rehab, they're going to get jail for a long time, depending on what kind of record they got. If they got a record, they're going to be in jail for a long time. So that's what they got to look forward to. They're not going to look forward to getting rehab. That's out. There is no rehab. You go to jail, and that's all, you know, and that's all done on purpose, you know. Because now you got these big corporations, and they're making all kinds of money trying to get, you know, they're practically stealing people, trying to get people to go up and, you know, go to jail, to fill them up, so they can make more money off these jails. You need, and it's been on for a while, but if you get a chance, check out documentary 13 on Netflix, and it'll give you the whole story about this phony war on drugs, because it's not a war on drugs. It's just a war on black and brown people, and they know it. So this first clip is going to give you some a little bit of background tonight on what we're talking about, and how, you know, pretty soon, you know, I got a feeling that it's going to be. And it's going to be, you know, all over the country. They're going to make pot legal. They may come up with some stipulations, but if the government can tax it, make money off of it, they're going to be down with that, you know. And then also it's messed up. You know, they've got a scale of the drugs, pot is they claim is more dangerous and cocaine and methamphetamines, which, you know, no, that doesn't make any sense. But anyway, so I'm going to play this first clip and play this, and I'll be right back.
Listen, Drew Carey, all you adults always tell us the same thing. Weed's going to kill us. It's a gateway drug. Vine isn't funny.
Oh, no. For most people, weed is essentially harmless.
Okay, no way, Jose. Look, I know this stuff is a little overboard, but you can't tell kids weed isn't bad.
Of course I can. It's true. And we've known it for decades. Counting deaths from the substance alone, alcohol kills 88,000 people a year. Tobacco kills 480,000. And marijuana kills absolutely no one.
According to curriculum, marijuana can get you hooked on harder substances. It's a gateway drug.
Yeah, educators have been saying that for years, but it's not true. Most people who try marijuana don't even continue smoking marijuana.
This dude knows what's up.
Now, that doesn't mean that it's perfectly safe.
Dude, I thought you were cool.
Oh, I wish. If you're under 25, smoking weed can lead to memory problems and poor cognitive functioning. But if you're an adult and your brain has finished developing, it's really your choice.
Adam, wrong way. Also, not in a school.
Sorry, I usually only smoke at parties, and I'm rarely invited to them.
I wonder why.
The truth is, if you know the risks and you use it in moderation, weed is no big deal. And in fact, humans have been using it for millennia. Humans started growing cannabis as a crop over 8,000 years ago.
This crop will feed our family for a year. And this crop will make movies way funnier.
In 440 BCE, Herodotus wrote about the ancient tradition of cannabis steam bags.
Fellow citizens, as a wise man once told me, vape life!
And in America, for many years, marijuana was available in over-the-counter medications.
Step right up and try Professor Holcorium's rejuvenating tincture. Now with the Arab hashish.
For most of America's history, weed was legal. No one cared about it.
Wait, so what changed? I mean, there must be some reason we banned it.
Oh, there is. And it's real weird. Enter Harry Anslinger, commissioner of the Federal Bureau of Narcotics and a staunch prohibitionist.
Yeah. Our funding has been cut. They'll shut me down if I don't find a new chemical to demonize. Let's see. What are people scared of for no good reason? Aha! Mexicans! And Mexicans smoke marijuana! That's it! Hey, racist mom! Marijuana makes Mexicans thirst for white blood! Spread the word!
Anslinger used that racism to fuel a propaganda campaign against the drug, testifying before Congress.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Soon the marijuana causes violence meme was everywhere, from newspapers to movies.
Just a young boy. Under the influence of the drug, he killed his entire family with an axe.
To subtle political cartoons.
Nazi propaganda.
What does that even mean? Why would he just say the word Nazi propaganda?
Honestly, no idea. But it worked. In 1937, Congress banned marijuana. And later, with Anslinger's help, they passed the first mandatory minimum sentencing laws, which made it so that your first time getting caught with this could put you away from 2 to 10 years.
Thank you. That's what I thought.
And the true irony is, the government knew Anslinger's claims were false. Scientists proved marijuana wasn't connected to violence or insanity in the 40s. And in 1973, a bipartisan commission recommended Nixon decriminalize it. But Nixon being Nixon...
Mr. President, literally everyone agrees. Marijuana is safe.
Out! Get out! I have zero chill. The war on drugs begins now.
I don't understand. If he knew it was safe, why would he be so tough on it?
Well, why don't you ask Nixon's aide, John Ehrlichman? He said in 1994,
we knew we couldn't make it illegal to be either against the war or black. But by getting the public to associate the hippies with marijuana and blacks with heroin, and then criminalizing both heavily, we could disrupt those communities. We could arrest their leaders, raid their homes, break up their meetings, and vilify them night after night on the evening news. Did we know we were lying about the drugs? Of course we did.
That's a real quote.
Yeah, that's a real quote. Nixon started the war on drugs to bully his political enemies and minorities. His own aide admitted it.
I can't believe I've been teaching this to children. At least it's better now, right?
You wish. Despite laws being loosened in a few states, mandatory minimums are still in effect all across the country, and marijuana still accounts for nearly half of all drug arrests. And despite the fact that white and black people smoke at basically the same rate, black people are 4 times as likely to be arrested for marijuana. Look, we know for a fact that weed isn't dangerous, but we're still following racist old laws and throwing countless people of color in prison for no reason.
Okay, so. So the technical word for it is cannabis, but nobody calls it that. They call it marijuana, and they call it that on purpose. And that is to put, you know, that picture in people's minds about how, you know, because this whole thing is, you know, I mean, just like you heard in the clip, is racist. And they only pass the laws because... you know, the traces. And then also, you know, like I said, black people 4 times more likely to go to jail than white people, even though they smoke it at the same rate. And traces, it's to fill the prisons up, especially those made-for-profit prisons, so the stockholders make more money. And they can't make more money if the prisons are empty. So they have to have a reason to put you in. So they come up with a reason to put you in, and the stockholders make their money. So all of this is just about cash. All about cash. That's all it's about. Just about the money. Even though they know that it doesn't... Okay, I'm trying to... All right. And then also I heard, and you probably noticed that the ex-Republican Speaker of the House, John Boehner. He was against it. Now all of a sudden he's for it. And all of a sudden he's on one of the he's on the board of one of the biggest pot-growing companies in the country. So now all of a sudden he's down with it when he wasn't down with it before. So what he ought to do is, you know, when they do decriminalize it, and if you're in jail for it, they'll let you go and expunge your record. Because now all of a sudden these clowns are trying to make money off of it. Before they were against it. Now all of a sudden they're for it. And if they see a buck in it, then they're going to try to make a buck. Like they always try to do. This next clip is 10 reasons why marijuana should be legalized.
Number 10, safer than prescription drugs. While alcohol and prescription drugs are responsible for around 200,000 deaths each year, marijuana is safe to use and will not kill you. In fact, not a single person has died from marijuana use. Before marijuana could even begin to be harmful, an individual would have to consume more than it's even possible. And even if they did, they would suffocate from no oxygen before it would even happen. Number 9, hemp is very nutritious. Hemp seeds are highly nutritious and are rich in omega-3, calcium, and iron. Hemp is used in many foods, including salad dressings, nutrition bars, and chips. It's a very versatile food. In my opinion, we should be able to use it for its many uses, which leads me to my next point. Number 8. Hemp has many uses. A form of marijuana called hemp can be used for various practical purposes, such as fabric, paper, rope, or even bedding for animals. The uses for hemp never end. It also cannot be used to get high, so don't worry about kids smoking their worksheets at school at lunchtime. Number 7. Loss of revenue. It doesn't matter where you are in the world, revenue is always important. Marijuana is the largest crop in the nation, and legalizing marijuana can bring more jobs into an area or a country. More jobs equal more revenue, which is needed to help our sagging economy. Just think of the taxes that can be charged on the sale of marijuana. Just like cigarettes, except all the detrimental effects on health. This type of large revenue can also be very helpful in paying for many government programs. Legalizing marijuana will help keep revenue in your own country legally instead of various black markets, where it serves no purpose for the average citizen. Number 6. Reducing exposure to harder drugs. Legalizing marijuana would decrease everyone's exposure to harder drugs like cocaine or heroin, because the customer wouldn't be going to the drug dealer anymore, where they have equal access to those hard drugs that cause so many problems. At the end of the day, who says to themselves, I think I'm going to get a needle and shoot up some heroin? It just doesn't happen. If anything, the prescription painkillers that are prescribed instead of marijuana cause people to be dependent on opiates or abuse it, and end up doing hard street opiates. Number 5. Wasted time. Our police devote thousands of hours to arresting, booking, and imprisoning marijuana smokers, many of whom that are otherwise law-abiding. The people behind the worst of these cases have spent over a decade in prison, in some cases for nothing more than possession of cannabis for personal use. Number 4. Prohibition has failed. The government has tried to use criminal penalties to prevent marijuana use for over 75 years, and even still, marijuana is now used by over 25 million people annually. Cannabis is currently the largest cash crop in the United States, and marijuana is grown all over the planet. Claims that marijuana prohibition is successful is ridiculous and isn't supported by facts at all. People are going to be smoking marijuana just like they have been for thousands of years. Number 3. A regulated market. Having a regulated and legal market for marijuana would decrease its value because then it would make it easier to manufacture and wouldn't have the ridiculous black market markup that would in turn make it cheaper and would put criminal organizations out of business. Who wants to buy weed off some sketchy dealer when you could pick up your Doritos with your weed at your local 7-Eleven? Number 2. Reduced crime rate. 6 months after the legalization of marijuana in Colorado, the crime rate fell down 10% and violent crime fell 5%. An interview with a police officer that served in Colorado during the legalization of marijuana and before legalization for 36 years said the prohibition of weed distracted officers, preventing them from dealing with more serious crimes. Number 1. It's just weed. I know this isn't really a fact, but come on, is marijuana really that harmful? According to the police in the United States, marijuana is in the same category as cocaine and heroin. At the end of the day, who are you really trying to fool here?
Okay, so, so more people in this country die from alcohol and other harder drugs than pot. And like I said, if you regulate it, you could pay people to grow it, and then you can tax it. And then that tax money goes into the economy. And plus tobacco kills more people than marijuana too. So people try to use that as an argument. You know, they'll say it's bad for you, but then they won't say anything about alcohol. Alcohol kills more people than pot. Tobacco kills more people. So, and you would think that Republicans would love that, since they love making money, and they love taxes. So if you had it and you started, you know, you paid people to grow it, you can have them grow it. You can have it taxed, and then you can have it sold in dispensaries. And then make sure that in the dispensaries, make sure you have not only do they sell it, but make sure that they have sell snacks also. And you're talking about making a killing. You know, you have a pot store, and then you have a rack where you just had the Doritos and the honey buns and the cakes, and you make a killing. Let me do that before I forget. Let me look this up right quick. Let me go back and look this up right fast. I'm gonna try to find the a list of the states that it's legal in. Let me do this right fast. Let's see. I can't spell. Okay, here we go. So these are, okay, so here's a list. Let me click on this. Okay, so let me click on this. All right, so here's a list of the states. Okay, here we go. All right, here's a list of the states. Okay, in Alabama, okay. See, personal use possession is a misdemeanor. They can have the oil, but they can't grow it. Alaska, it is legal. It is legal to carry up to 1 ounces. It is legal to grow up to 12 plants in a household with two adults over 21 or an unlimited number commercially with a license. So it's legal in Alaska. It's illegal in Arizona. Medical use is legal. You can transport it, medical use only, cultivate medical use only. So if you got medical issues, you can have it legally. It is illegal in Arkansas, but you can have it for medical use. California, it's legal. It's legal to carry up to 28 grams. It is legal to grow up to 6 plants for an individual or commercially with a license. Colorado is legal. It's legal to have up to 26 grams. It is legal to grow 6 plants for an individual or commercially with a license. Connecticut, it's decriminalized. It's a felony. Well, it's legal for medical use. So let's see. It's a possession of less than 0.5 ounce by persons 21 and over results in grading scale of fines and seizure of contraband. Under 21 faces additional sanctions to include temporary loss of license to drive. In Delaware, it's decriminalized. Medical use only. Florida is legal. It's legal for medical use. Georgia is illegal. You can't have some cannabis oil. You can only have it for medical use only, and it's illegal. Also in Georgia, any conviction of a marijuana possession, sale, or cultivation offense results in suspension of driver's license. First-time offenders may be eligible for a conditional discharge under Section 16-13-2 of the Official Code of Georgia, annotated, which operates as a dismissal if certain conditions are met, such as the payment of a fine or community service. A measure to allow medical cannabis oil passed the House in February 2015. On April 16, 2015, the non-psychoactive form of marijuana oil, CBD oil, was legalized for medical use in the state. In Hawaii, it's illegal, but it can have medical. In Idaho, it's a misdemeanor, 85 grams, 3 ounces or less. Personal use possession of 3 ounces or less of marijuana is a misdemeanor punishable by up to a year in prison or a fine up to $1,000 or both. If the quantity possessed is more than 3 ounces but less than a pound, it is a felony punishable up to 5 years in prison or a fine up to $10,000 or both. Illinois, it's decriminalized. It's legal for medical use. Let's see what he got saying by the sea. So they are going to try to pass the law to make it legal to have recreational marijuana. You can have up to 28 grams and grow up to 5 plants. Indiana, it's a misdemeanor up to 6 months and a $1,000 fine. It is still illegal in Indiana. It is illegal in Iowa. It is a misdemeanor in Kansas. So it's, you know, misdemeanor in Kentucky, less than 8 ounces. Louisiana, it's illegal. You can have it for medical use only. In Maine, it's legal. It's legal. You can carry up to 2.5 ounces, which is 71 grams. It's legal to grow up to 6 plants for an individual or commercially with a license. Maryland is decriminalized. 10 grams or less. You can have it for medical use. On April 14, 2014, Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley signed 2 pieces of cannabis reform legislation, SB 364, decriminalized possession of 10 grams or less to a civil infraction punishable by a $100 fine for the first offense, a $250 fine for a second offense, and a $500 fine plus possible drug treatment for a third offense. HB 881 legalizes the possession, sale, and production of medical cannabis and authorizes the creation of a commission to license dispensaries, doctors, and patients to manage distribution. So that's in Maryland. That was back in 2014. It's legal in Massachusetts. You're going to carry up to 28 grams. You're allowed to have 1 ounce of marijuana outside of the home and up to 10 ounces inside the home, and to cultivate up to 6 plants. In Michigan, it's illegal. Minnesota is decriminalized. Mississippi, it's decriminalized, first offense, 30 grams or less. In Missouri, it's decriminalized. Montana is illegal, but you can't have medical. Personal use, possession of 60 grams or less of marijuana is a misdemeanor punishable up to 6 months in prison and a fine of between $100 and $500. A second offense is punishable up to 3 years in prison or a fine up to $1,000 or both. Possession of more than 60 grams is a felony punishable by up to 5 years in prison or a fine up to $50,000 or both. Possession of any amount of marijuana with intent to distribute is a felony punishable up to 20 years or a fine up to $50,000. Nebraska is decriminalized. And if you look at a lot of these, when you get picked up for it, you know, it's different. Like this one, this is Nebraska, up to an ounce is treated as a civil infraction for the first offense, as a misdemeanor for a second and third offenses. A fine of up to $300 may be issued for the first offense, along with potential court-mandated drug education courses. A second offense is punishable by a fine of up to $500 and up to 5 days jail time. And a third offense carries up to $500 fine and a maximum of 1 week in jail. Nevada is legal. It's legal by adults 21 and over of up to 6 plants per household. New Hampshire is decriminalized. You can have up to 3/4 of an ounce. You can have it for medical use. It's illegal in New Jersey. You can have it for medical use. And in Jersey, it's a maximum sentence of a year in prison as a misdemeanor and up to $1,000 fine for possession of up to 50 grams. And then Christie got into it and it's a hot mess. New Mexico, it's illegal but decriminalized in Albuquerque. But you can't have it for medical use. Actually criminalized in New York unless open to public view. They can't have medical marijuana in New York. In 2014, New York legalized medical marijuana when Governor Cuomo signed the Compassionate Care Act into law. The legislation only allows patients to ingest cannabis using edibles, oils, pills, or vapors, and does not allow smoking of the plant material. In North Carolina, it is decriminalized 0.5 ounces or less, but it's still illegal. It's illegal in North Dakota. It's decriminalized in Ohio. It's illegal in Oklahoma. It's legal in Oregon. You can transport up to an ounce. You can have up to 4 plants per household. So that'd be 21 and over. It's illegal in Pennsylvania, but you can't have it for medical use. In Rhode Island, it's decriminalized. In South Carolina, it's a misdemeanor. But you can use it for medical uses. It's a misdemeanor in South Dakota. but you can't have up to 2 ounces or less. Well, see, 2 ounces or less is a class one misdemeanor, maximum sentence 1 year imprisonment, and a maximum fine of $2,000. Tennessee, it's a misdemeanor. You just can't have the cannabis oil. In Texas, it's illegal. In Utah, it's a misdemeanor. In Vermont, it's legal, up to 1 ounce. You can have 2 mature plants and 4 immature plants. In Virginia, it's a misdemeanor. In Washington State, it's legal. In West Virginia, it's a misdemeanor. In Wisconsin, it's a misdemeanor. In Wyoming, it's a misdemeanor. In the District of Columbia, it's legal. It's legal to carry up to 2 ounces. It's legal to grow up to 6 plants, only 3 mature at a time. For recreational purposes, no provision for commercial or recreation cultivation. So, you can go to D.C. and get high, and it won't get you in trouble. In America, Samoa, it's illegal. In Guam, it's illegal. Northern Mariana Islands, it's illegal. In Puerto Rico, it's illegal. And the Virgin Islands, it's decriminalized, but it's still pretty much illegal. So, that is the list of the states that you can have it if you want to. I can't even read my handwriting in this next clip, but I'm going to play it anyway.
Marijuana is a plant that comes from Asia. It's been used for thousands of years. A cousin of marijuana, hemp, was a common plant that people would farm in the United States. In fact, our first president, George Washington, had hemp plants on his farm. The drug marijuana was introduced into the United States as we know it in the 1850s. Soon after, laws were created to regulate its use. In 1906, the Pure Food and Drug Act was passed, which required all states to label its drugs with its contents. Some states even required marijuana to be labeled as a poison because of alleged suicide attempts while under its influence. After the Mexican Revolution in 1910, many Mexicans sought refuge in the United States. Many used marijuana as a recreational drug to relax after work. Some historians argue that the passage of more intense marijuana regulation at the time was an act of racism, as fear and prejudice about the Mexican newcomers became linked with marijuana. In 1930, the Federal Bureau of Narcotics was created and headed by a man named Harry J. Anslinger. Anslinger argued that marijuana causes temporary insanity, and he created a propaganda movie called Reefer Madness, which showed young people consuming marijuana and behaving recklessly. There is also some speculation that two of the financiers of that project, the DuPont Company and the Hearst Company, had a special interest in trying to outlaw marijuana. Both companies had business in the industrial fiber industry and were in competition with hemp farms around the country. Some historians speculate that they saw this as an opportunity to make marijuana and its non-narcotic cousin hemp illegal. It was in 1937, with the help of Anslinger, the DuPont Company, and the Hearst Company, that the U.S. passed the Marijuana Tax Act, which made possession or transfer of marijuana illegal in the United States under federal law. The act also banned the production of hemp. During World War II, however, the U.S. government urged farmers to grow hemp once again and even provided draft deferments to hemp farmers because access to industrial fibers was limited due to the war that was happening in Europe. Around this time, the mayor of New York, Fiorello LaGuardia, gathered a team to study the effects of marijuana and found that earlier claims that it causes addiction, madness, and overt sexuality were false. Despite these findings, marijuana laws became even harsher. In the 1950s, federal laws were made that made it possible for a person with a first-time marijuana possession offense to be given up to 10 years in prison. Even though in the 1960s, many white upper-class families began to use marijuana, by the 1970s, under the Nixon administration, the Controlled Substance Act was put forth and the Drug Enforcement Administration, or the DEA, was created. Marijuana was categorized alongside heroin and meth as a Schedule I drug. It was, and to this day continues to be, defined by the United States as a highly addictive and unsafe drug with no accepted medical purposes. Under the Act, a team of people were put together to research the effects of marijuana. After the study, the director of that team, Raymond Schaefer, recommended the decriminalization of marijuana and stated, "The criminal law is too harsh. The actual and potential harm of use of the drug is not great enough to justify intrusion by the criminal law." By the 1980s, however, penalties under President Ronald Reagan increased and the Three Strikes Law was made, which created a mandatory 25-year imprisonment for repeated crimes, including certain drug offenses involving marijuana. After California legalized medical marijuana in 1996, the Supreme Court ruled that federal anti-drug laws do not permit exception for medical marijuana use and concluded that marijuana has no currently accepted medical use. In 2005, the Supreme Court ruled that states that have decriminalized marijuana are still acting in contradiction to the federal law. To combat this contradiction, the DEA regularly targets and arrests medical marijuana patients and seizes medical cannabis along with the assets of growers and dispensaries. While many efforts have and continue to be made to decriminalize marijuana usage in the United States, it is still considered a Schedule I drug that is highly addictive and harmful by the United States government. Despite the fact that its categorization is not based on sound research, the tide is shifting. With the legalization of marijuana in several key states like Washington, Oregon, and Colorado, I believe we will see its legalization on a national level in our lifetime. Thank you for watching, and please.
Okay, so let's grab phone. Hit the button. Grab phone call. Hey, what's up, Brother Miko? What's going on?
Was that a man? You smoking
hey, what's
dope
up,
tonight?
Hey. Nope. Hey, what's up?
I bet you selling dope tonight.
Oh, no. No, they're not going to allow us to do it. They're not going to allow us to do that kind of stuff.
I just told him, bro. Check me out.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Actually, you brought up a good point, because it's like a lot of the people that are in on selling it are like white folk, and they won't let any brothers sell it. But I guarantee you, if they catch them out in the street, they'll throw them in jail in a heartbeat. But they won't allow them to get in on the selling stuff. So they're not gonna let them go ahead and make money off of selling it. But they'll damn sure get them and throw them in jail with the quickness, which is
which is
jacked up.
Well.
Yeah.
They're going to definitely control the markets. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they're going
mm-hmm. yeah.
to control the markets by any means necessary. So
yeah.
That's them
yep.
Bianchi's
yep.
Fellow Americans. controlling their markets based off of race and not Americanism.
Huh?
Them Bianchi's
right.
Fellow Americans doing that.
Yeah, well, I had said earlier that, you know, this is the perfect thing for Republicans, because they love money, and, you know, they love capitalism. So this will be perfect for them out there, you know, setting up the dispensaries all over the place and selling, you know, and taxing and all that kind of stuff. You know, they would love, you know, getting in on a, you know, this is a perfect deal for them, you know.
Yeah.
They sure enough won't let the brothers get in on it, you know. That's out, you know. They ain't letting the brothers get it, because – Nah, because then they'll be cutting in on their yeah, so they ain't playing that. They ain't gonna play that at all.
So what's your show about?
This next whether or not we should go ahead and legalize it, because that's the way it's looking right now. You know, if they would legalize it and then, you know, tax it, sell it, you know, they could cut out the middleman, and they could cut out the black market, and you know, make all that, you know, make money off the off the taxing of it. And then if they had, you know, growing hemp so they can make clothes and fabric and all that kind of stuff, I'm guessing it's just going to be a matter of time before they actually do it. But, you know, they're just, you know, slowly getting around to it because of all the stereotypes and all that kind of stuff they put on it. You know, they want to make it look like only black people are selling it and buying it and all that kind of mess, which ain't true. You know, white people smoke that stuff just as much as black people smoke it. And, you know, and so bad. They brave now. They'll go right up into the hood and look for people to sell it to them. And don't care if people see them. You know? Don't even care.
Quick note before you move on. I heard the guy in I guess they caught that guy in Tennessee. Now, did you hear anything about the judge offering him bail?
Well, I heard that they gave him $2 million in bail. But then I heard later this afternoon that they revoked it because I think people started getting pissed off about it. Because this guy killed four people, and they're gonna get up, they're gonna sit there and give him $2 million bail, you know.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
this is what they do, man.
If that ain't a slap in the face, now was the individuals that got killed, were they black?
I think three were black and one was Hispanic, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
I mean, here you have a judge, you know, who's, I mean, to even offer this guy bail. I mean, are you kidding me, man?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, it's jacked up. It's jacked up. This clown went out there.
His fellow man, when he come on here, you make sure he has that.
Well, we'll see because I find it funny that this guy is a white guy. He kills black people, and nobody says from the other side. Nobody says a word. But if this guy had been black or brown, and the victims were white, they'd be talking about. I mean, they would never quit talking about this.
But not only that, brother, when they caught up with him, mm-hmm. it would have been a slip of somebody's pistol. He probably wouldn't even got apprehended.
Well,
he'd probably been dead. Well, somebody's gun would have went off by mistake.
Well, he would have been shot 20 times.
Right.
You know, he wouldn't have been caught alive. And I'm not sure if they took him to Burger King when they caught him or not. It's possible they did take him to Burger King. I don't know. But they caught him, according to what I heard, they caught him behind his apartment. And they caught him alive. You know, nobody feared for their life. They didn't kill him. Which, you know, people are talking about this, you know, this guy killed four people. They caught him alive. You had the brother out in California had a cell phone in his hand. He gets shot 20 times. Or he got shot at 20 times, but he got hit 8 times. You know, this guy didn't kill anybody. He gets killed. This guy kills four people. He gets taken alive. It's funny to me that the people that are actually out here doing the killing gets caught, gets arrested. But the people that aren't out there killing anybody, they get killed. You know, if you're selling, you know, cigarettes on the street, you get choked. If you're selling CDs in the street, you get shot. If you got a cell phone in your hand, that looks like it looked like a gun, it looked like a crowbar, but you get shot at 20 times. So they catch this clown. You know, and they should have known something's wrong with him. I mean, he was only wearing a jacket when he went there and started shooting. He ain't have on no pants.
Yeah.
You know, but see, it goes back to what I've been saying all along. If you're black or brown, if you're black, you're a thug. If you're brown, you're a terrorist. If you're white, you're a patriot. And if you do something stupid and you get caught, then you got issues. And they say this guy had issues, you know. And then the thing is, they took the guns away from him. They gave the guns to his father. His father gives them back to him. So something should happen to this guy's father. you know, if the state takes the guns away from him because they said he's got issues, then the father turns around and gives them back to him. Well, I'm telling you, boy. I mean,
all right, bro. I'll put myself back on mute, man. Let you finish your show.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you calling in as usual.
All right.
But I will say this: so with these guns, I'm telling you. I mean, it's crazy. You know, Dylan Roof, his father bought him a gun. It's the same gun he used just to shoot the people in the church. This clown has guns, gets taken away from, and his father gives them back to him. See, and that's what I've been saying all along about the Second Amendment. The only people sitting there crying about the Second Amendment are white people because it only applies to them. Because back in the day, they wouldn't let black people have guns. So those are the main ones crying about the Second Amendment. Don't take my guns away. Don't take my guns away. Just because you have a right to own a gun does not mean you should have one. This guy definitely shouldn't have had one. And his father gives the guns back to him after the state takes them away from him. So something should happen to the father. Because he should have took those guns and locked them up. I mean, they said this clown's walking around in dresses. He's got issues, so he had no business having a gun at all. And it just so happened that a brother and Waffle House took the gun away from him. But I'm waiting for Trump to say anything about that. Trump did not say anything about that brother taking that gun away from this clown. Didn't say a word. The NRA didn't say a word, which is amazing to me. You know, I mean, it's I'm not surprised by it. This next clip is Senator Schumer from New York. He's talking about introducing legislation to make it marijuana legal.
You know, when so many people are incarcerated and not out there being productive citizens of society, that matters to the whole country. I'll be introducing legislation to decriminalize marijuana at the federal level from one end of the country to the other. The legislation is long overdue. I've seen too many people's lives ruined because they had small amounts of marijuana and served time in jail much too long. It affects communities of color disproportionately and unfairly. And ultimately, it's the right thing to do. Freedom. If smoking marijuana doesn't hurt anybody else, why shouldn't we allow people to do it and not make it criminal? We allow the states to decide. So each state can decide on their own, but there'll be no federal agents or anything like that, except if a state that has legalized marijuana, say Colorado, is shipping marijuana to, say, Illinois, which is not. Federal government can still try to stop the shipments to the state where it's not legal.
Why have you changed your mind on this issue?
Well, number one, I studied the issue, and we've now had some evidence, state of Washington, other states, where it has done lots of good and no harm. Justice Brandeis said, let the states be laboratories. Now we've had a few states, we've had a few laboratories, the experiment's been a success. Let's nationalize it.
Is it a conscience issue for you?
It's conscience. It's also practical. You know, when so many people are incarcerated and not out there being productive citizens of society, that matters to the whole country.
Will your bill reverse some of those convictions, then?
There's two paths here. One path is decriminalization of marijuana at the federal level. That's what we're introducing. But there's another path already being pursued in a bipartisan way by people like Senator Booker and Senator Durbin, which is criminal justice reform, which I also support, but that's a separate track dealing with people who have been unfairly punished.
Where are you on recreational marijuana use?
My personal view is legalization is just fine. My view is the best thing to do is let each state decide on its own, and that's what our bill allows.
So legalization is fine. I mean, that's a change for you.
Yeah.
That legalization is
Listen,
fine.
As I said, I looked at what's happened in the states that have done it. Seems to have worked out pretty well. All the parade of horribles that people talked about didn't occur. Crime did not spike in any place. There's no evidence that young people are using drugs of any type more. The pathway issue hasn't proven to be true. So it all makes sense, you know, when you get evidence.
And are you just doing this to piss Jeff Sessions off?
That would be a benefit, but I hadn't thought about it.
Senator Wyden has a decriminalization bill. Cory Booker and Bernie Sanders now joining.
Yeah.
I think we both know none of those proposals are going to make it to the Senate floor while the Democrats are still in the minority. Is this an election year play?
No, I'm doing it because I think it's the right thing to do. If we benefit, so be it. But that's not my motivation.
Do you think it is a good issue for you to be putting out right now, day before 420, to try to get youth votes?
Well, the more support we can get, young, middle-aged, old, the better. That's how democracy works.
But is this targeting young people?
Are you trying to target? Not necessarily. No, 63% of all Americans are for legalization. We just do decriminalization. So it's aimed at pretty much everybody.
I want to just turn to Mike Pompeo. You voted for him to be CIA director. Some of your Democratic colleagues have started falling off on this. Where are you? Are you going to vote for Mike Pompeo to be Secretary of State?
Look, first, State Department's a lot different job than CIA director. I've met with Pompeo twice. I've asked him a lot of tough questions, and I will deliberate and make my decision known fairly soon. I'm not ready to say yet which way I'm going.
When have you met with Mr. Pompeo?
I met with him this morning, actually, and I met with him about a week ago. I kicked everybody out so I could hear candidly what he had to say. Between the first and second, I reviewed his public transcript, because often what people say publicly and privately is different. I was disappointed in the public transcript, so today I asked him about that, but I don't want to get into the details right now.
Did y'all talk about his visit to North Korea?
Don't want to get into the details right now.
In terms of his visit,
Shauna, you can try a third time.
That's what they pay me to do, sir. In terms of his visit to North Korea, aside from your personal conversation with him, he is now de facto the chief diplomat. Can you roll that back by trying to not confirm him?
One visit shouldn't give.
That is a big visit.
It's a big visit, but it shouldn't give a permission structure for somebody who will be involved in multiple areas, many of which are difficult, some of which are dangerous, over the next several years. So I don't think simply because he visited and spoke to Kim Jong-un makes it that people should vote for him.
Yesterday, you and your senators agreed to modify the rules for Senator Tammy Duckworth to be able to bring her baby on the floor.
Nice.
Congratulations
to
her.
Thank you.
But, you know.
Thank her. Thank you for her. I've talked to her. She's doing great.
It seems that Senator Klobuchar had to go through some hoops to try to get everybody on board on this. Is this?
Okay. Okay. So I'm just not being that clear, because the first part of it, they were talking about, you know, he's trying to introduce a bill to make it legal in the country. Then I'm gonna play this last clip. It's not a long clip, it's a couple of minutes, and then we'll see where the show ends up from here. So let's play this and be right back.
There's one issue that the candidates just didn't seem to remember: legalizing recreational marijuana. It was on the ballot in 5 states this year, close to a national referendum on the drug. 4 states plus Washington, D.C. already allow adult use. And California, the country's most populous state, just said yes. That means that more than 20% of people over 21 can legally light up under state law. America's come a long way from associating pot with debauchery, violence, and murder.
Marijuana, the burning weed with its roots in hell.
That was 80 years ago. Later on, in 1969, only 12% of the country supported legal marijuana.
Public enemy number one in the United States is drug abuse.
Drugs are menacing our society.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it and didn't inhale.
The incarceration model that we've taken, particularly around marijuana, does not seem to have produced the kinds of results that we've set.
Now 60% of the country says it should be legal, an all-time high. But it's not on the federal level. The U.S. government still puts marijuana in the most restrictive group of drugs, alongside heroin. Opium and cocaine are considered less dangerous. So why is the public pushing for legalization? Well, some of it comes down to economics and more tax revenue. Washington and Colorado each collected over $150 million in revenue tied to pot sales in their last fiscal years. And that doesn't even take into account the thousands of new jobs created in this newly legal industry. Think growers, retailers, lab testers, and accessories. But the Golden State's vote of confidence in marijuana is a game changer. California is bigger, sixth largest economy in the world, the state could bring in an extra $1 billion in tax revenue next year. But this budding industry still faces major challenges, working with banks, making sure product doesn't cross state lines, and possible interference by the federal government. That's keeping lots of money on the sidelines. Still, the industry is one of the fastest growing in the country. It's going to be hard to stop the spread of all this weed.
Okay, so that was the last clip. And so there you have it. So I just put all the information out there for you. Some people may agree, some people may not agree, but I'm beginning to think that it's probably going to happen sooner than later. And I will say this, that when it finally does happen, that all the brothers and the sisters that are in prison because of this should be let go. They should have their records expunged. And, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes. So we are going to go ahead and call it a night. So I guess this is more of an educational program than anything else. So we'll call it a night. But we'll be back next week with another topic. And I'll see y'all next week. Thank you, Brother Miko, for calling in. I'll see y'all next week. Peace out.